I desire your prayers that the Lord will bless his word to us this morning. I want to thank the Lord, first of all, for the Sunday school lesson this morning. It was uplifting and encouraging, and there was a scripture that was given that really inspired me as it was read. And I will probably refer to it when we are able. But I want to start out with a scripture in 2 Peter, the third chapter, and it's all very familiar to us. And in some ways, this is an extension of last Sunday morning. We spoke about the message that is the messages that are being among us for the last 50 years. We spoke of the message of the early Reformation, come out of her, my people, and then we spoke of we don't have recorded messages online before 1960 as a general rule. Those were reel-to-reel messages, but if you examine the older messages and even down through today, you'll find there is a thread of the coming of the Lord. And it's been throughout these last 50, 60 years or more. And God is faithful. And he is the one thought that I had concerning the third chapter of 2 Peter, which we're all familiar, is it starts out and it says, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. How long ago was this written? And so it has spoken to many, many generations down through time. And it's still speaking to us today. Yes. It may sound like an old message, but it isn't. It's for every generation. It's for the younger generation that is here today. And for those that are of the older generation who may pass off the scene and not see the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord, it's still for us. And it says that many people are going to be saying, where is the promise of his coming? That's nothing new. And yet there are people that are looking for his coming. Not just among us. I was speaking with my insurance agent a while back, and I can't remember exactly what our conversation was at the time, but it was concerning our society and the things that are happening in our world. And she told me that her husband was looking for the Lord to come any day. I don't know what church he goes to. I don't know what he believes and what he knows. But there's people out there that has the feeling that the Lord is coming again. And so that's part of the message. But the message is trying to prepare us for that great day. But you skip on down and the word of the Lord here says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this thing. How time means to God is one thing. Yes. He says a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And I can't hardly relate to that. Sometimes Cheryl and I are talking and we're discussing about the coming of the Lord, and she'll say, oh, it could be 1,000 years. And I said, or it could be one day. And we both laugh then, because we don't know. So it goes down and it says in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. And I just want to speak just a few words about God's will. Why has he not come before now? Because he's not willing. He's not willing for anyone to perish. He has a mind about mankind. He is mindful of those that are lost. Yes, he is mindful of those who are saved. He wants to keep them saved, and he has provided all things for us to keep saved and to make it to heaven. Do you believe that?
Yes.
We must continue to believe that. But this chapter goes on and it speaks about the day of the Lord. And no matter how long the Lord does tarry, these words will be for whoever hears them and speaks them. And the scripture was Hebrews 13 and 7 that was given this morning in the Sunday school class. And it just sort of reached out and spoke to me. And it says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. And it was mentioned different older ministers that have gone on, that we would remember what they said. And so God was faithful to send the messages through the mouth of his servants. And it says, remember them, who hath spoken unto you the word of God. And then at the end, considering the end of their conversation. So I want to use some of the word of the Lord this morning to speak to us. There is a scripture over in James, the 5th chapter, and it's verses 7 and 8. And this is what it says to us. Be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, he waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. So be ye also patient and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, that scripture has been read to many generations before us also. And so we're reading it to you this morning. Be patient. We have to wait for the coming of the Lord. And while we are waiting, we want it to have an impact on our courage.
Yes, Lord.
What we heard this morning in Sunday school, our don't give up. The younger generation, Damon, he says he understood that the older you get, the harder it gets. And if we would have discussed this with these ministers or these older people when we were young, and if they could have said, this is how you're going to feel, this is the kind of battle you're going to have in your mind, it's not going to be an easier road. It's going to be a harder road. How much more would we prepare for it? I believe that we would listen more carefully to the messages that are spoken in our hearing. Do you think we might? I want to tell you, And I know you know this, but even in this setting right here, there can be a distraction to your mind. Thinking of tomorrow, or thinking of what is about to happen, or anything to distract your mind. That's what the enemy is trying to do. He has a purpose. He wants to wear out the saints of the Most High God. He wants to wear us down. And he does it in subtle ways, in ways that affect us in our mind. This is your battleground, is in your mind. And he knows what he's trying to do to our minds. So I'm wanting to refer to the rich man and Lazarus. And we know the account. It's over in Luke, the 6th chapter. We're not going to read it all for the sake of time this morning. But I want to read between the lines. Do you ever read the Bible and read between the lines? Well, I think there is a little message that we could understand between the lines of the rich man and Lazarus. It does not say that the rich man ever heard a message about death. But he knew there was going to be death because nobody lived forever in his time. But when he died, and when he found himself in hell for all eternity, he was thinking of his family. And he began to appeal for even Lazarus to go back into time and tell his brethren not to come to this place and how to not come. And what was the answer? No. They have the prophets. I'll read that verse. Let me see. It is the 6th chapter and it's 19. It's the 16th chapter. It's the 16th. Oh, I'm sorry. I looked at that wrong. 16. No wonder I couldn't find it. It skips down here. And after he has appealed for Lazarus to go back, and the answer is, I pray thee that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, and testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. When I say I'm reading between the lines, I believe that the rich man heard all of that. He knew what was said by Moses and the prophets, but he didn't heed it. Now, that's why God is still being unwilling for any to perish and so long-suffering, and he's still sending the messages to prepare us and to help us that we will not face that day in a shock. Are we going to be shocked that the end has come, either for me or for the world? Oh, we need to be ready every day, don't we? Another scripture that it's really not a scripture, but it is. It also is something that comes between the lines. Who has the care of your soul? You do. I do. We can care for each other's souls, and that's good. The scriptures tell us to pray for one another. to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I mean, there's many scriptures that we can justify when we care for, but ultimately we have the care. It's in your hands. Your soul is in your hands. When each of us stand before the judgment bar of God, the scripture says we each one will give an account of the deeds done in the body. And it goes back to, what have we heard? What did those who had a charge over our soul, what did they say? Do you think it'll come back to us? Yes. What we have heard is how we will be judged. Whether we embraced it and accepted it and lived by it, or whether we ignored it and turned away from it. So the care of my soul is in my hands. It is in your hands. And we, each one, will bear the responsibility of the choices that we have made in our life as we stand before God on that last great day, the day of judgment, because he's not been willing for anyone to perish, and he has made provisions of every kind that you not be lost, that I not be lost, that we be able to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Don't you want to hear those words?
Yes,
we will have to. We'll have to work at it.
Amen.
He's given us. I have grace that is sufficient. I have the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I must have the Holy Spirit. If we hope to make heaven, we must be able to listen to the voice of the Spirit every day, because everything God has provided for you and me to be ready to meet him at that day. Going to 2 Timothy now again. And it's 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Going to look at verse 13 and 14 and then back up to 12. This is what it says. Hold fast the form of sound words. You know, we really don't come to church on Sunday morning for entertainment, do we? We discipline ourselves to come. I spoke last Sunday morning about, you know, observing people along the way as I came to church. Golfing, some were golfing, some were jogging, and some were walking their dogs, and some, and this morning a bicyclist, and he was decked out as a bicyclist. And where is their thoughts on Sunday morning? Evidently it's on what they want to do. So we come for a purpose. You've come this morning. Did anybody force you to come? Did you come because you had to? Damon said this morning, "I'm glad to be here." And I believe he starts out Sunday school nearly every time saying those words, "I'm glad to be here." Oh, there's going to be some messages later, but the scripture says, and it's sound words, don't neglect or forsake the assembling of yourselves together because there are some people that are doing it. And something happens when we forsake or neglect this place. If there were more that felt the weight of those words, this building would be full. Do you believe that? We have to feel the weight of our soul. We have to feel the weight of the sound words that are spoken to us. So hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard in faith and love in Christ. Oh, this isn't a place of... We don't offer anything that... But the Word of God. We don't offer a band that is entertaining. I don't know, a few years ago, this happened a few years ago, and I'm sure it's even more so now. It was an Anderson Church of God here in Oklahoma City, which is called the Community now. You're finding that they're dropping that name and adding other names to it. It was advertised. You know what their service was going to be, how it was going to be presented that morning? With a ballet program to convey the message of Christ through ballet. We can't offer it to you. It may attract a lot of people in other ways, and they may leave and feel lighthearted and all, but what we want you to do is to leave and say, I heard some sound words. Because that's all that's going to matter. Verse 14 says, thou hast heard in faith and love in Christ now this is what we heard, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So now we've heard the sound words, we're counting it a good thing, and we must hold on to it. And not let it slip. And not get out there tomorrow and be so taken up with the cares of life. And we do have cares of life. It's impossible for you to live life. You men go to work. You are commanded to support your families. And that's a message within itself. The women... You're homemakers and keepers at home and loving your children and loving your husband and hold on to it. Don't let it be a discouragement to you if you think you're not doing enough. Remember, I said something like that last Sunday afternoon. Then we're going back up to verse 12. And this is familiar. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against what? That day. We're living for that day. You're going to your jobs. You're taking care of your responsibilities and that's right to do. But don't lose sight of that day. I wrote this little statement down. I said, watch unto the end of your journey. We're all on a journey. Life is a journey. And things happen to us every day. There are heartaches that can come into our life. You that are younger, you've got a what you feel is a lifetime ahead of you. There was a time that some of us younger ones thought that too. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And some of us have met situations on the morrow that we would have chosen not to face. Prepare for it today by holding on to sound words. The words that are spoken in our hearing. Hold on to it. Keep it. Watch unto the end of your journey. And then I'm going to refer to Daniel. And I have a statement that I'm going to make before I turn to Daniel and read about. You know what that statement is? Weigh in with all you have received at the judgment. I'm going to read it again. Weigh in with all that you have received at the judgment. You have to keep it to be able to weigh in with it. Do you understand my statement? Now I want to turn to Daniel and because I want to speak to you about how that we are a responsible generation. My generation was responsible. Yes. And your generation is now responsible. It's got to hold to sound words. You've got to be convinced. When I've told you how it was when I was a child. And we look around and we may see these children and they're playing in church. And that's not a bad thing. They may be hearing a whole lot more yes. than what you think. I did. And I remember can't think of her name. Doug and Lanita's daughter. Anyway, she was just a little girl. And they would sit over here and you know, she didn't look like she was listening at all. When she went home, she was probably only like 3 or less. When she went home, she would repeat what I had said in the message. So children do grasp some things of sound words, and it influences them then when you do. And you teach it to them, and you affirm it, and you instruct them. See? Well, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Oh, I want to tell you. Something really happened to him. Let me see where it is now. I want to... if you find the chapter where Nebuchadnezzar is, it's what? Fourth chapter, okay. We're just going to talk a little bit about him and his attitude and how that he had such pride and trust in what he felt like he was able to do. But he had a dream. Don't you know God tries to turn our course if we're headed in a wrong way? Well, God tried to change him. And so he had this dream, and it turned out that Daniel interpreted the dream. And Daniel even began to say to him, turn from your sin. It was 12 months, and the dream came to pass, and Nebuchadnezzar had not changed. He was actually standing there, and while he was speaking the words, looking out, and you know, feeling such great pride in his kingdom. And right while the word was in his mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And we know the rest of the story. And he went out and he became as an animal, and he lived that way until one day his mind returned. And as it came back, and at the end of the days, 34, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And he changed. He became a different man. Now, he had what is called, one of some of the verses say that Belshazzar was his grandson. Some thinks it was his son. But nonetheless, whatever his place in the family, he saw. He witnessed. It sometimes the example before us may be more than just sound words. And that's how it was with Belshazzar. He saw his father or grandfather live like an animal. His kingdom was taken from him, but he saw him return in his mind, and he witnessed it. He was a responsible generation because of what he witnessed. So let's go down to the 27th verse of the 5th chapter. And we find that he's now placed in judgment himself. And what were the words? Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. How did that happen? Because God was faithful to him to give him the example. And I believe that his grandfather father Nebuchadnezzar probably said many sound words from that time unto this time. But that's why this says, weigh in with all you have received at the judgment. We're all going to be weighed. We're either going to be wanting or we're going to have sufficient weight to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Go with me now to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the 20th chapter. And this is probably very familiar to us also. And I'm going to be looking at verses 39 and 40. And we find here, let me see here now. Verses 39. Okay, here it is. In this passage, they are actually having a battle, and as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life. And as thy servant was busy. Now we know what they're saying here, but these are some sound words that we want to carry with us today, because you need to keep yourself, and you're the only one that can. Yes. But that man got away. And the man that was given the charge, you and I have a charge to keep ourselves. And as he was busy, the man got away. That part of sound words can slip away so easily. Oh, when you pray, pray more for yourself. I've advocated that you pray more for yourself than anybody else. Oh, there's a place for us to pray for one another, but I want to tell you, you need to pray for yourself the most. Lord, help me not to be lost. Help me not to be deceived. Help me not to be blind. Help me, help me. Lord, have mercy that I not be deceived. I wrote this statement down and I said, anything that affects your closeness with God, if you grow lean in your soul, if it hinders your salvation, put it away. Those are sound words. There is a track that I have, and I've seen it. I mean, I've seen it recently, but I haven't just exactly read it. But I'm familiar with what it says. Have you ever seen that track that says, others may, you cannot? So often we think that because somebody else is justified in what they do, that I'll be justified too. They can go to that place and they still claim to be saved, and they still, and so I can too. You ever had any thoughts like that? You better get the mind of the Spirit. You better allow, this is best, allow the Spirit of the Lord to convict me of how I should live before God. I cannot compare myself to somebody else. And the scripture says it's not even wise to compare myself to somebody else. Don't watch other people's lives and say, well, they can do it, so it must be okay. Keep in tune with sound words for yourself. The final statement that I have down here is, don't get out of harmony with God. I'm going to repeat it. Don't get out of harmony with God. That's our little message today. He's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing for me to perish. He's not willing for you to perish. And he's doing everything he can to help me stand before him and weigh in with everything that I have received down through my life. Pray for me.